This is 5 in 10 from Skywatch TV for Monday, March 25th, 2024. I'm Derek Gilbert. The five things you need to know for this Monday morning. Of course, topic number five being the terror attack in Moscow Friday night. The unofficial or the official death toll now raised to 137 as of this recording on Monday morning, but the unofficial toll put at 140 or more. That number is likely to increase as emergency workers continue sifting through the rubble of the Crocus City Hall music venue. It's a combination concert venue and mall where well-armed attackers, walked through the building, basically shooting people, shooting them down in cold blood, and then setting the building on fire. You see an image of the fire burning in Moscow on the screen behind me. Apparently, that fire burned for hours through the night, Friday into Saturday morning. Authorities on Saturday announced the capture of four suspected gunmen. There were unconfirmed videos circulating on social media that purportedly showed some of the captured gunmen. These four were part of a group of 11 detained in connection with the event. The four alleged gunmen apparently, or let's say ostensibly, attempting to escape into Ukraine. This is according to Russian media sources. Now, this has raised suspicion in Moscow over the involvement of Ukraine. U.S. intelligence officials telling media here, the New York Times specifically, one of their favorite sources for leaking information, that it was ISIS-K, that's the Islamic State Khorasan, an archaic term for Turkmenistan, Afghanistan, and eastern Iran, that was responsible. They claimed responsibility for it, released video claiming responsibility on a Telegram channel called Amuk, which is the name of the valley in southern Turkey, where Muhammad is reported to have predicted the return of the Mahdi, hence the Islamic State taking that name for its official news agency. Anyway, the United States Embassy in Moscow actually released a warning back on March 6th, warning Americans in Russia to avoid large gatherings because it had specific intelligence of an imminent terror attack against large groups, even warning specifically against attending concerts in Moscow. Now, obviously, this took place more than 48 hours after that warning, but for Russians, this raises the question, what did the CIA know and when did it know it? U.S. intelligence officials claiming that it tried to warn Russia and that the warnings were not heeded. Well, Russian media significantly has not joined in the Western assessment, not reported the involvement of ISIS-K, which may lead to topic number four, wars and rumors thereof. Russia launched a barrage of missiles and drones against Ukraine Saturday night into Sunday morning. Kyiv and Lviv in the West came under a massive barrage. 29 cruise missiles, 28 drones launched. More attacks taking place Sunday into Monday. Ukraine's military said it intercepted 18 of the missiles and 25 of the drones, but significantly, one of those missiles crossed into Polish airspace, which compelled Poland to launch NATO F-16s in response, tracked it. Poland's operational command said the missile was inside its airspace for 39 seconds, which is a significant amount of time for a Russian missile to be inside the airspace of a NATO member country. Meanwhile, while this is going on, a Chinese-owned tanker was struck by a Houthi missile in the Red Sea. This despite a report on Friday from Bloomberg News that China and Russia had made a deal with the Iran-backed Houthi government of Yemen for safe passage of their commercial vessels through the Red Sea and the Gulf of Aden. But late on Saturday night, U.S. Central Command, that is, announced on social media that a ballistic missile fired by the Houthis had hit a Panamanian-flagged Chinese-owned chemical tanker called the MV Huangpu. It is not clear why the Houthis would attack the vessel if there was, in fact, a safe passage deal. The ship was also broadcasting on radio channels end destination India, all crew China, which the Houthi rebels would have been able to see. And yet they attacked the ship anyway. While this is going on, by the way, we just learned this morning, Monday morning as we're recording this, that a hostage deal is still being negotiated between Hamas and Israel. Reportedly, this would see the Israelis release 700 to 800 Palestinian Arab terrorists in exchange for 40 hostages. This is the same deal, it appears, that Benjamin Netanyahu last week had described as still ludicrous, or still absurd, rather, and had rejected out of hand. So it remains to be seen what is going to happen there. Topic number three, censoring the border. You might have seen the video on social media toward the end of last week of a group of illegal migrants rushing the Texas National Guard in El Paso. This was reported by the New York Post's Jenny Ter, who's on the ground there. She was the first to report this on Thursday, capturing that video of the migrants rushing, bull rushing, the Texas National Guard troops. So in response, the federal government has decided not to beef up security at that particular point in El Paso. They have actually erected barriers to keep the media away from the crossing point. So, yes, we're going to put up another barrier, but it's not to keep migrants from crossing into the United States. It's to keep the media from seeing the migrants crossing into the United States. And the video is pretty shocking, looking at these guys tearing apart the border wall and just overrunning the guard troops who did not fire or even threaten to fire. But media, according to Ter, posting on her X account, formerly Twitter, media now being blocked from the scene where we captured the breach by hundreds of migrants in El Paso yesterday. How do we do our jobs now? End quote. And somehow, White House spokesperson Karine Jean-Pierre blamed this on former President Donald Trump and Texas Governor Greg Abbott, both Republicans, of course. This smells like desperation, as the Biden White House is very much aware that its poll numbers among voters of color, Latinos and Black Americans, dropping significantly in border and battleground states like Michigan and Pennsylvania. Pretty much Biden's popularity imploding across all demographics, and scenes like what happened Thursday at the border in El Paso not helping Biden's reelection chances. Topic number two, what fresh hell is this? Some really shocking stories coming out last week. Video footage in Wasco, California, that's a small community north of Bakersfield in Kern County, appears to show a crazed person waving around a severed human leg and taking bites out of it before police arrested him Friday. The man reportedly stole, according to media accounts, stole the leg from the scene of a train accident where a person was hit and killed. Video shows the man, 27-year-old Rosendo Tellez, holding and examining the leg, with witnesses saying he was eating parts of it before trying to walk away as he was waving it around while police surrounded him and apprehended him. Tellez arrested on multiple counts, multiple outstanding warrants, and for taking evidence from the scene of a crime, or from an accident scene, rather. And then on the other coast, four people charged last Wednesday with hiding pieces of two dead bodies that they hacked up with meat cleavers and then scattered across Long Island. That's not the worst part of the story. They were freed on supervised release because of New York State's bail reform law. Roommates Stephen Brown, Jeffrey Mackey, Amanda Wallace, charged alongside with a homeless woman, Alexis Neves, for hindering prosecution, concealment of a human corpse, and tampering with physical evidence. None of the four yet accused of murder, at least as of this recording, this according to Suffolk County Police. All four pleaded not guilty, released with ankle monitors. No bail, just ankle monitors, because under New York State's bail reform laws, the crime of cutting up corpses and distributing the body parts is not a bailable offense. In other words, they just walk. Come quickly, Lord. Coming up, great work if you can get it. You only show up to the office to protest showing up to the office. Straight ahead on 5 and 10.
There is an all-out war being waged on the minds of an entire generation of today's young people.
State lawmakers are now questioning how 70 foster kids can go missing.
They have convinced us in the West that children are a burden. Birth rates are below replacement levels just about everywhere in the Northern Hemisphere.
People would have to be utterly blind or insane not to recognize the current heartbreaking onslaught against our most vulnerable citizens, our children.
Children who have been thrown up against walls and locked in closets. Children who hide under their beds in fear and whose nightmares are real. Children who have been beaten with 2x4s, whipped with bicycle chains, and burned with cigarette butts.
Children living in foster care are 4 to 5 times more likely to commit suicide than those who are not.
An agenda to submit our current generation of children to a fate far worse than death is being carried out.
I was 5 years old. I was doing dishes. My mom was so mad. She had picked up one of the steak knives and shoved it through my hand and just walked away.
Who will stand in the gap for these children? These are real lives.
Item number one today, you cannot make this up. Federal employees rallied outside the John F. Kennedy Federal Building in Boston last week, calling for the U.S. Department of Labor to protect their right to work remotely. You see, they think that even 3 years after we learned that the lockdowns weren't really doing anything, they still want to continue working from home. So they showed up to the office to protest working at the office. This protest, organized by the American Federation of Government Employees, Local 948, which represents employees at the Department of Labor, in Boston and New England. So, of course, federal employees working for the Department of Labor complaining about having to go to the office. It's the only reason they went to the office was to complain about being required to come back and work at the office. Can't be bothered to go to work unless it's to protest going to work. As I said, you cannot make this stuff up. The headlines write themselves these days. Skywatch TV's Defender Conference, a virtual conference countering the darkness, is on now. Just a quick reminder, you still get 90 days access. If you haven't signed up to take advantage of this and this opportunity to see Tom Horn's last presentation, as well as talks from Jonathan Kahn, Colonel David Giamona, Ryan Peterson, Dr. Judd Burton, many others, plus free access to all 6 feature-length Skywatch Films documentaries. Cutting-edge information available for 90 days from the time you sign up at DefenderConference.com. That's DefenderConference.com. This week on Skywatch TV, we continue our series about the forthcoming docu-series, Rescue Us. Really, this is all about Skywatch TV and why we do what we do, not only on Skywatch TV, but at Whispering Ponies Ranch. You'll hear from Samantha Orr, an excerpt from the docuseries, describing her experience at Whispering Ponies Ranch or with Royal Family Kids and the Royal Family Kids camps. Her story is one of the most extreme cases of child abuse in the history of the state of Missouri. And yet her life was changed by the Royal Family's Kids Camps, which is what we host at Whispering Ponies Ranch. Don't miss this powerful program. You can see it right now at our website, skywatchtv.com. It's available on our Roku and Apple TV channels. You can see it over the air, the broadcast schedule for the over-the-air program, skywatchtv.com/channels. It's on Rumble, rumble.com/skywatchtv, or you can watch it right now on our mobile app. The mobile app brings all of our video content to you and bypasses the gatekeepers of big tech. And it's because of stories like this that we keep getting kicked off of YouTube. Seriously. For some reason, they find this kind of information offensive. Well, get the mobile app and you don't have to worry about us being canceled ever again. It's available for iOS, Android, and Amazon Kindle Fire phones and tablets. And we have links to their app stores at our website, skywatchtv.com. In early May, Sharon and I are setting up a solidarity mission to Israel. The stories we see in the media here focus on Gaza and what's happening there. But for the most part, Israel, other than the northern border, within line of sight of Hezbollah territory in southern Lebanon, most of the rest of Israel is pretty peaceful. In fact, safer there than in most American cities, large cities these days, and I'm not even exaggerating. Born and raised in Chicago, I still follow Chicago sports teams, but I wouldn't want to live there. Israel, no problem. We want you to join us. This will be a small group, no more than 24, maybe 30 at the most. We'll visit some of the sites connected to the October 7th attacks, and then we'll take you to the sites you want to see, ground zero in the spiritual war, what this war is really all about, in Jerusalem, the Mount of Olives, the Temple Mount, the Western Wall tunnels, and much more. You can find out complete information. Look at the itinerary at our website. That's gilberthouse.org/travel, gilberthouse.org/travel. Thank you for watching as we keep watch. I'm Derek Gilbert, and this is 5 in 10 from SkyWatch TV.